Holmes was referring to his decision in the notorious case of Buck versus Bell, in which progressive lawyers on both sides hoped to get the Supreme Court to write eugenics into the Constitution. Holmes was eager to oblige. The state of Virginia deemed a young woman, Carrie Buck, unfit to reproduce, though she was not, as it turned out, retarded, as the state had contended. She was consigned to the Virginia State Colony for Epileptics and Feeble-Minded, where she was cajoled into consenting to a salpingectomy, a form of tubal ligation. The case depended in part on a report by America's leading eugenicist, Harry Laughlin, of the Eugenics Record Office in Cold Spring Harbor, New York, and the RAND Corporation of Eugenics Research, funded by various leading progressive philanthropists. Without ever having met Buck, Laughlin credited the assessment of a nurse, who observed of the Buck family, "These people belong to the shiftless, ignorant, and worthless class of antisocial whites of the South." Hence, Laughlin concluded that eugenic sterilization would be a force for the mitigation of race degeneracy. Writing for the majority, Holmes issued a terse opinion, barely over a single page long. The decision now ranks as one of the most vilified and criticized examples of legal reasoning in American history. Yet of all his many opinions, it is perhaps the most revealing. Citing only one precedent, a Massachusetts law mandating vaccinations for public school children, Holmes wrote that the principle that sustains compulsory vaccination is broad enough to cover cutting the fallopian tubes. It is better for all the world if, instead of waiting to execute degenerate offspring for crime or to let them starve for their imbecility, society can prevent those who are manifestly unfit from continuing their kind. He concluded by declaring, famously, "Three generations of imbeciles are enough." As we will see, this reasoning endures in the often unspoken rationale for abortion. The opinion tied together many of the major strains in progressive thought at the time. Holmes, a bloody-minded veteran of the Civil War, saw war as a source of moral values in a world without meaning. Given the sacrifice of so many noble characters on the battlefield, requiring degenerates like Carrie Buck to sacrifice their ability to breed, or even their lives, for the greater good, seemed entirely reasonable and fair. By citing a public health measure as an adequate precedent, Holmes further underscored how the health of the organic body politic trumped individual liberty. Whether through the prism of mobilization or public health, the project was the same. As Holmes put it in a 1915 Illinois Law Review article, his starting point for an ideal for the law would be the coordinated human effort to build a race. Given such rhetoric, it's impossible not to see progressivism as a fascistic endeavor, at least by the standards we use today. There's a general consensus among liberal historians that progressivism defies easy definition. Perhaps that's because to identify progressivism properly would be too inconvenient to liberalism, for doing so would expose the eugenic project at its core.